Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Movie News. We're not doing movie news this week because it's all boring, so we're going to talk about the Orville instead. So that's much more interesting to us because we're Star Trek people, you know.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that you and I are the Star Trekkiest fans in the network right now.
We are the Star Trekkiest of Star Trekkies. That's us. Definitely.
Before we do that, though, there is one thing I'd like to put out there, and it's a follow-up of something we reported on before that was kind of puzzling. And we were talking about that there was a Stargate subscription service coming out, a streaming service for Stargate, and we were all very puzzled by that because while there is, relatively speaking, a lot of Stargate as compared to some other series, sure doesn't seem to be enough Stargate to support a subscription service. And they're also doing some sort of little animated prequel kind of stuff. And we were very puzzled by this. We've also talked about this on the Seven Chevron, the Simply Syndicated Stargate SG-1 podcast that Ro from Atomic Trivia War 9000 and I do. And it's finally gotten clarified. And what it is whatever company, I suppose I should look it up, bring up the story just so I can tell you the details as long as I'm talking about it. I want to say it's, no, it's not Paramount. Come on, Slacker. There we go. It's sci-fi? It's a sci-fi thing? I didn't realize that. It's MGM. That's better. Okay. That makes more sense. MGM Studios is launching Stargate Command, a new online streaming service that's built entirely around the Stargate franchise. Now, here's the deal. Instead of it being a monthly subscription so you can watch Stargate and only Stargate, it is a one-time fee of $20, and then you get all the Stargates. You get all of SG-1, all of Atlantis, the two seasons of Stargate Universe, if for some reason you want to watch those. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Somebody liked it. You're wrong. It sucked. and the two SG-1 straight-to-DVD movies, plus some behind-the-scenes things and the original animated things that are coming up. So it's actually not a bad deal. I'm seriously considering it because for the Seven Chevron, we're watching every episode of the show, and it's either like $24 to watch per season on Amazon, or, and this is one of my favorite things where Amazon one hand doesn't know what the other one's doing. You can pay $24 for the digital download of the season to watch it on your computer, or you can buy the DVDs for $10 a season.
Well, yeah, it's you have to weigh up, don't you? I'm surprised it's not just like on Netflix or whatever. Stargate.
It was, right. but then they took it off. So now you have to pay to watch it in some manner. And I had up through season 5 that we had bought years ago, but the DVDs are degrading and they don't all work anymore.
Ooh.
So $20 for all of the Stargates, I'm seriously considering it because I think that will, it'll take a little while. It'll take a couple of seasons to pay for itself, but
how would you watch it? What is the service connected to app-wise? Because that's the one thing to think about. If you to buy it on Amazon Video, then you can. Mm-hmm. There are a million boxes that you can plug into your TV that play Amazon Video. But what is this other thing?
That's a very good question, and one I didn't consider because I would just watch it on my computer. Because it's not like Stargate was the most high def, awesome. Well, they had some pretty cool special effects, but they're all early 2000s, so I don't know. I guess you'd have to use something like your Chromecast or Roku or something where you can throw it from a device to the TV.
Okay, just something to think about. I mean, if you're going to watch it on your computer anyway, and if it's $20 for all of Stargate,
that's dirt cheap.
It's next to nothing, isn't it, really?
Because it's 10 seasons of SG-1, 5 seasons of Atlantis, and 2 seasons of Universe, plus 2 feature-length DVD, feature-length movies, and this original stuff. That's like...
That's a lot.
I don't know if that works out to $1 a show. That's probably less.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay. So what if you've only got a version that only works on your computer? It was $20.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad deal.
And most computer screens are far higher def than anything we ever watched Stargate on when it originally aired.
Hell
so.
Yeah. Yeah. TV used to be unwatchable, people. Do you remember? It used to just be horrible. It's fine now, though.
Yeah. All better. So, excuse me. So let's talk about the Orville, shall we?
Yes. Let's do that. Okay.
So,
right. Hang on. Do you like this or not yet?
Well, okay. Before we get into that.
Okay.
First of all, let's say this will be spoilers. However, if you've watched any science fiction in the last 50 years, you already know what's going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
Sorry, that came out a little more aggressive than I meant to. Let me ask you something, Rich.
Okay.
What is your opinion of Seth MacFarlane?
Okay. Professionally, we're talking, because I don't know the guy.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Talk about his oeuvre that you may or may not have seen. Do you like his work?
I would say, for me, his work is far more hit than miss. However, it's certainly not all hit. It's really not all hit. And sometimes when it goes to miss, it's so fucking missed. It's ridiculous. I have at this point abandoned Family Guy and did a couple of seasons ago. Really. But in general, I am a fan of his work. Actually, how old is he? I'm wondering if he and I are a similar age. I bet he's a bit older than me, actually.
See, he was born in 1973.
Okay, so he's Allison's age. Okay. He and I seem to have very shared popular culture references. And in some cases, a very similar sense of humor. There are things I've seen him do where I anticipate it happening because it's what I would have wanted to have done. So generally, I get on with his stuff. He, unfortunately, fortunately, I think he exists in this weird space in the entertainment industry. And it's a space that Adam Sandler inhabits for some reason, where people just let him do whatever the fuck he clearly feels like doing. He can just do what he wants. And enough people will watch it that it's worth somebody putting it on. So somebody always does. So he just gets to do what he wants. And that can be a very dangerous place to live in, because look at Adam Sandler.
Yeah. You know,
but he's just being given free rein. Netflix just gave him a ton of money and went, make 6 movies. We don't care. People watch any shit you're in. And he did. And they're all garbage. But
yeah,
people watch it all. So I think that Seth MacFarlane is someone who has so far throughout that experience done a more than reasonable job of preserving his artistic integrity in the face of being given free rein to do whatever the fuck he feels like doing.
Okay. I, however, do not care for his work.
Okay.
I have tried to watch Family Guy a few times and I find it unfunny. And everyone's like, but the Star Trek references, the Star Wars references, they're all so coldly calculated that they don't, it's like, okay, we're going to put in pop culture reference X at this point that has nothing to do with the story. And then we'll just move along to the next point where we're going to insert joke Y that, you know, it just doesn't work for me. And several New Year's ago, I was with friends and they put on the Family Guy Star Wars parody.
Okay.
I did not laugh once through the entire thing.
Okay.
So I don't have anything against MacFarlane. It's not like, now Adam Sandler, I can't stand. I tried, what was the one? The Big Daddy one.
Daddy was not a good one. And it had Jake Lloyd, which is just,
You know, I was over some friend's house and they put that on and I got about half an hour into it. And then I went out and just sat in the, on the patio until they were done watching it. Because it just bothered me so much.
Yeah, look, Adam Sandler just makes garbage. I can name maybe 2, maybe 3 Adam Sandler movies that I would argue were his better ones. And I would also then argue that if you weren't the age that you should have been to watch and enjoy them at the time they came out, then you will hate them with the passion of a thousand suns.
I didn't mind him on SNL. I kind of thought Opera Guy was funny. You know, his songs are amusing. Piece of Shit Car will always be a classic, but I think everything he's done on screen that I've seen has been appalling. So we've established that you for the most part dig Seth MacFarlane.
I've got time for what he does. I was going to watch this because he was attached to it, and I have enjoyed a lot of his work in the past, especially including his movie stuff. More so, his movie stuff actually.
Okay. And I, for the most part, am on the opposite end of the coin.
Okay.
Now, I will also come clean with something I had to admit to myself after watching last night's episode, because after the second one, I was pretty much done. I even posted on Facebook, I think I'm done with the Orville. And then enough people that I know and a couple of people who I really trust were like, episode 3 was really different. I liked it. No one said to me, you need to watch it. But they were like, people that... whose opinions I trust were saying episode 3 was a lot better. So I was like, all right, I'll watch it. I will say, okay, the confession I have to make that I made to myself is that I want this show to suck.
Okay.
The first time from the beginning where I heard about it and I heard who was doing it and I saw the premise, I was like, this is going to be a shit show. It's going to be terrible. And I don't want it out there sullying science fiction for anyone who might think that's what science fiction is. Then came the reports after there were some previews of the first episode who were saying it's been marketed completely wrong.
Yeah.
It is not the zany madcap parody you've been told it was going to be. So I watched the first episode and I was completely neutral. It was not the shit show I was expecting. But I certainly wouldn't say it was great. I will say this, though, even it's still at this point, I am absolutely positive that Seth MacFarlane had meetings with lawyers where he said, how far or how close can I get to Star Trek before we get sued?
Yeah.
I don't think this is an accident. This was, I'm going to push this as far as we can.
Oh, shit. Yeah. absolutely. Look, I don't even know where to start with that. That kind of just overloaded my brain a little bit. But yes, it is as if that happened. People at Axanar take note.
Yeah. You know? But the thing is, and this is what baffles me, okay? We'll talk about the merits of the show itself in a minute. But I've been kind of bitching, for lack of a better word, about how this is not an homage. Homage ended 5 minutes into the first episode. This is a blatant fucking ripoff of Star Trek. And I don't even want to, I'm not going to accept parody except from a legal standpoint, because there's not enough humor in it to qualify as parody. It's not satirical. It's just, we're going to do as close to a Star Trek The Next Generation episode as we can, and we're going to squeeze a couple of jokes in so if anyone calls us on it, we can say, oh, parody. And nobody but me seems to be bothered by this.
It is kind of that a bit. I mean, having watched the third one now, which is the most like a Star Trek The Next Generation episode I've seen without looking at a Star Trek The Next Generation episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's without knowing the motivations behind the people making it, it's very difficult to say it's not that, because it kind of is that.
Yeah.
But if that's what it is, what's wrong with that? It's kind of I've found it to be the one I've said about it. And I think I said this in reply to your Facebook post, actually. It feels like somebody's made a TV show out of all the jokes we used to make on Make It So. But he really wanted to make Star Trek. But of course, they're not going to just let him make Star Trek. So he's done it as close as he can and made it a bit... In some ways, I actually think it's more realistic, because you've got room for someone to be a bit of a jerk and someone to make jokes and someone have a problem with somebody else. All the stuff that they said that they'd thrown out of the window for making Discovery. But they've obviously done it to make Discovery much grittier, whereas Seth MacFarlane's done it to make it a bit sillier.
Hmm.
I'm really enjoying it now. at this point. I also have to keep reminding myself, it's you can't. Is it fair to judge any TV show after three episodes? Really? And especially seeing as we're talking about this as Star Trek fans, and we have sat through so many season ones just because it said Star Trek on the box. You know?
Yeah. But also, we live in a world now where shows don't get an entire season to find themselves. You know, how many times have we said that if Star Trek the next Generation seasons 1 and 2 were released nowadays, there wouldn't have been a season 2.
No, you're absolutely right.
TNG would not have survived its first season in the television climate that exists now.
Which I don't think is a good thing.
No, I'm not either. But also, there is so much content out there now that if after three episodes a show isn't working for somebody, you know, I get 2 hours a night max to watch shows that don't involve whimsical animated characters. And so if a show is not working for me, I'm not going to keep watching it. I think the world of sit through season one, it kind of sucks, but it gets better afterwards. That's gone with the episodic television.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. You've got to pick what you watch. And if it's not really hitting it, then why continue to watch it?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this one for you is one of a case of just sort of leave it alone until season one has done what it's going to do and see where it goes from there. It might well get a season two purely because it's Seth MacFarlane.
It could. And he's my problem with the show, I realized last night. Because last night, all right, episode one was a pilot, and pilots are always clunky. I will grant you that. I think there was one point I was kind of live tweeting, but had to watch it on Hulu. That's where it is here if you're not watching it live. And so I had to deal with commercial breaks. And so at every commercial break, I was posting my just a quick opinion of what I thought of it at that point. And at the first commercial break, I said, I think Jerry Goldsmith has grounds for suing, because the music was so close to the when Mercer and his navigator helmsman buddy were going to the ship. Gordon Malloy, that's the dude, Lieutenant Malloy. The music was so close to the flyby music in Star Trek the Motion Picture. I was like, this is getting too close. And that's when it started bothering me.
Okay. And the music is really close. You hear bits of Next Gen, bits of movie score, bits of all kinds of stuff.
And Galaxy Quest. It's really, really riffing hard on Galaxy Quest.
Well, Galaxy Quest is the same kind of thing. And so, I don't know. If I were them, I'd have stayed the hell away from Galaxy Quest. And I don't know if it just feels like there are bits of it there because Galaxy Quest was a parody of Star Trek, whatever.
Yeah. But Galaxy Quest was actually a parody. It wasn't a ripoff of... It was its own story that was based around a facsimile of Star Trek. At no time did Galaxy Quest ever try to be Star Trek. And that's what the Orville really feels to me like it's doing. Is, like you said, MacFarlane, you know, I don't know what his history is with Star Trek. I don't know if he even tried to write for Star Trek.
He's been in it twice.
Well, okay.
He got to be in Enterprise twice as himself. Ensign MacFarlane on board the original Enterprise is Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, wow.
He appears twice. They give him orders. He says, yes, Captain, and toddles off and does his thing. He's that much of a Star Trek fan. He's basically what you would be like if you had access to everybody who'd ever been in Star Trek as well. and you were mates with Patrick Stewart because he'd done a voiceover for your other show and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I don't begrudge it him, to be honest. I think I really get a kid locked in the sweet shop overnight feeling from him, but he's been locked in the Star Trek store overnight and they're just letting him do what he wants and it's all right. So I really don't mind it.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just, and I see your point and I should be able to let this go. Episode two, somebody on Facebook was saying, I've written down at least four different Star Trek episodes this one is ripping off.
Yeah.
Plot wise. And yeah, right down to the freaking zoo. I did not like episode two at all. And I really didn't like, I really felt sorry for Peter Macon, who plays Lieutenant Commander Bortus, the security guy. Because poor dude got encased in latex because he spends half the episode naked, sitting on an egg.
Yeah.
You know, so he's wearing latex from head to toe to become the literal butt of a elementary school level joke, which that bothered me. And I think that's my biggest problem with the show is that I don't like McFarlane's sense of humor. I find it puerile and simplistic. Now, I can laugh at a fart joke just like anyone. I almost laughed last night when the blob voiced by Norm MacDonald was hitting on the doctor and created a pseudo boner.
Yeah.
That was that at least I grinned a little bit, but that was the closest any of these episodes have come to making me laugh. And then the rest of the time, Captain Mercer is fine when he's being Captain Mercer, but then every now and then he just slips back into being a frat boy, you know, like anyway, where he just calls the other lawyer a dick or something like that. And it just really feels like it's coming out of nowhere.
Okay.
And it maybe it works in Family Guy because it's a cartoon and it's got a fucking talking dog and a baby who's trying to take over the world. So, you know, these left field non sequiturs work for some people. But in a show like The Orville, which is so obviously trying to be Star Trek, to have humor in it is fine. But it feels so misplaced to me. Like in episode two, when what's her name? Alara is in command, and then she gets so nervous that she throws up.
Yeah.
And that was way overplayed, I thought. Or in the first episode, when Mercer and Grayson are having this conversation in his office, and there's a guy on the outside cleaning the window. And that joke went on way too goddamn long.
See, I think this is a case of it not being to your sense of humor, which is unavoidable and okay. Neither of you are wrong. You're not wrong to dislike it if you dislike it, and it's not necessarily bad if you dislike it. And I don't know. I don't think it's as bad as all that. I'm honestly enjoying it, and Alison was enjoying it too. She's just watched episode three with me. Granted, after having had a few drinks, I don't know. She seemed fairly all right, to be honest. But she's had a couple of glasses of wine or whatever, so maybe that helped. But we were into it, and it is turning out to be far more serious than I thought. But it's just I kind of like the reimagining of certain types of characters that they have. I mean, what if Data and Geordi were just beer drinking jerks that hung around together and caused trouble and joked a lot and that sort of thing? And it was, I just kind of like it. It's difficult to explain. I think it's because it's like they've made Make It So. And in many ways, yeah. I'm extraordinarily jealous. But that's what you get for being the guy that works in TV versus the guy that does podcasts. I can podcast anything I want. I can do that.
<That's-> Now, I like a lot of the characters. I like Lieutenant Lamar, the navigator, who's just like, you know, what the fuck, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't like Malloy, the helmsman and Mercer's old buddy. I don't like him at all. He's the kind of asshole I don't ever want to deal with. And so I don't find his jokes funny. I don't find his presence funny. Stupid shit. Like in the middle of a battle, when Mercer said, "Hey, that was a good move." "Oh, really? Can I wear shorts to work now?" Who does that?
Well, nobody does any of it. It's just silly. It's just silly. I'm wondering if this time. See, you have to like people to laugh at it, don't you?
Yeah.
Look, we've noticed this. This is why you didn't like The Office. It's why, or Father Ted.
Yeah.
Because in essence, we're laughing at how unlikable they are. And this is a cornerstone of a great deal of British humour is based on ridicule of people we don't like rather than laughing with people we do like. This explains a lot in our society, but that's how we are. I mean, look at Fawlty Towers. You weren't supposed to like Basil Fawlty.
Yeah, I hate to, well, I guess I might as well admit it. I never cared for Fawlty Towers.
See, this fits in. This fits in. This all falling into place. Because, you know, it's one of those things like I don't like Shakespeare plays. I just don't enjoy them. But I have to sit there and acknowledge, okay, as plays go, they're all right, I suppose. You know, the guy kind of knew what he was doing. And Fawlty Towers
stole from the best.
Yeah, Fawlty Towers is kind of like that. It's like, okay, it might not be your sense of humor, but it is the best sitcom ever created. No one's come close. It's just perfection. And you don't like it, but that's all right. You're allowed to not like it. And I think this it doesn't fit in with your sense of humor at all.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but you're right, because I prefer, like a lot of Monty Python. Now, granted, they could be very silly and goofy, like with the Gumbies and stuff like that. But for the most part, their aesthetic was play it straight and let the situations be the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pythons were kind of like my, you know, just like Star Trek was the foundation of my moral code. Monty Python, the first time I saw Monty Python, I was 8 years old, and I loved it. And that kind of humor is what I like the best, where everything is straight. And that's why Galaxy Quest works so great for me. Nobody is being purposely goofy. Even the Thermians, the guy who played Malthazar, who's I can never remember his name, but his commitment to the part, even though he was talking with that weird sing-songy kind of cadence, he was totally committed to the role and played it as totally straight. You know, just the other day I was watching, I made a Grabthar's Hammer quote online, and I just wanted to watch the scene where Quellic dies and Alan Rickman, for the first time in the movie, does the By Grabthar's Hammer speech in, you know, seriously. And it's one of the most moving things I've ever seen in a movie. And everybody was playing everything deadly serious and just let the comedy come from what was going on around them. And with this show, and it's the same problem I had with shows like Warehouse 13 and Eureka. It's not a funny show, and it's not a drama. It's a little of both, but maybe it'll work out. Maybe it'll blend better as the show goes on. But like last night's show, the story was great. I mean, they are tackling concepts and ideas that we have been bitching that Star Trek has been avoiding for years.
That was the other thing that hit me about the third one.
Yeah. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad they're doing it. You know, they're dealing with same-sex marriage. They're dealing with transgenderism. They're dealing with the practice of genital assignment at birth, the practice of non-consensual sexual surgery, et cetera, et cetera. I applaud them for addressing these issues, but then they throw in some stupid ass joke where the captain is calling a lawyer of another race a dick, or you've got this glob of goo that's hitting on the ship's doctor or in the replicator room.
This is all make it so stuff. Come on, all of it.
All right,
See Dave in the brig. I really am. I'm waiting for a first officer to rest his foot on something and get told, get your foot off. It's all in. I think that's why I'm delighting over it. really, I can't pick fault with it. But I see what you say. Like Eureka, yeah, it's not funny enough to be a comedy, and it's too funny to be a drama. So what the exactly. fuck is it?
Yeah.
And yeah, comedy drama doesn't even cut it, because then again, it's not funny enough to be a comedy or dramatic enough to be a drama. So it's not much of either of them. It's the 3-in-1 printer of the television age. Yeah. So I don't know, but I still like, I think it's because it manages to be pretty much inoffensive and give you enough to keep you coming back for it. I don't know how I feel about that in the long run. I mean, because they kind of did that with Eureka. But then Eureka was a crap show to begin with. I don't know why I stuck with that for so long. I think because they only had one plot line in that show.
Yeah.
That was it. Today, something will go wrong with a ridiculous invention that the sheriff doesn't understand, but he will yeah. save everybody by the end of the episode. And that's it. That was every episode of that show. And you'd get sometimes like, hey, Will Wheaton's in it this week. Like, great. He's the scientist who makes the thing that goes wrong that the sheriff doesn't understand, but he fixes by the end of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so bummed when I found out that Felicia Day and Will Wheaton were both going to be on the show. But by that point, I had no desire to watch anything about it.
Well, they played scientists who made this thing that went wrong. But at first, the sheriff, he didn't know what it was about at all. But by the end of it, he managed to save the entire town. And I'm not even making that up. That's so what happened, because it really was every single episode. But for some reason, I watched it all because I liked the characters, and it's low pressure television. So much television is sort of, watch this. It's the grittiest, most serious thing. You'll never believe they did this on a TV show. It's like, oh, they've been saying that a while, and I just want something all right to watch, because Alison's just had this thing on where people confess to war crimes and cry. And so, you know, That's where I come. I think that's the other problem. You need to live with someone who just makes you watch the grimmest shit you've ever seen in your entire life.
And you know, the thing is, the frustrating thing is, this is exactly the kind of show I've been bitching about not having available. Because another problem I have with a lot of the science fiction that has come out in the last decade is, well, yes, it's science fiction. It's almost all planet-bound, low-ish budget stuff we can shoot on the back lot and just say, you know, we have some aliens on Earth, or we're on another planet, but it looks a lot like Earth. And or like, you know, Eureka or Warehouse 13, where it's all about the MacGuffin of the week that is doing X that our heroes have to stop. And I'm like, where, you know, aside from The Expanse, which is great, but we only get one season every 2 years, you know, where's the space science fiction? And here it is, but it's so much like the space science fiction I love the most. It's pissing me off. And I fully accept the absolutely contradictory nature of that.
Yeah. It is what you've been asking for ages, isn't it? I think when we get to see Discovery, as good as that will be, I don't think it's going to go near any of this stuff.
I'm so psyched about Discovery. I have yet to see anything that has me. We talked about it on the preview. The only two things I'm worried about with Discovery are Tribbles and Harry Mudd, and I have to see how they're handled.
So, I have high hopes for Harry Mudd, and I'm very happy that it's Dwight Schrute playing him. I'm sure he has a real name and that I should learn it.
But it's Rain something. Sean pointed out to me, isn't it, after we did the show, isn't it amusing that a guy named Rain is playing a dude named Mudd?
I never thought of that, but yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, and there's great performances in, okay, I'm going to defend the show and maybe talk myself out of hating it, because, all right, I don't like Seth MacFarlane. I don't like his acting. Well, all right, his acting is fine.
Okay.
I don't like the character. I don't like the captain because he is like every frat boy I've ever known. So, and you know, and I'm not saying that everybody that belonged to a fraternity is an asshole, but he's like, he's the dude that would be doing keg stands, shouting chug, 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 and getting his buddies to cover up for his date rape crimes.
Okay.
At least that's how I feel about him.
Right.
I love Adrian Palicki as Commander Grayson, although that scene at the end of episode one of the, we know something the captain doesn't know, and that's, I'm sure that's going to come up later. I didn't care for that at all. The doctor, who was Cassidy Yates on Deep Space Nine, I had to look her up. I'm like, why the hell do I know who she is? And I finally realized she played Cassidy Yates on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
That's, I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
I loved how she dealt with Alara in the, you know, I will help you, but I'm not going to command for you kind of thing. That was, I mean, there's great stuff about this show. They've got great, Brandon Braga, for Christ's sake, is involved in the show. Why can't I like this?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel bad for you now. It's I don't know. It's not bad at all.
No. Even the character I thought would be a total douche, Isaac, who was supposed to, you know, from a race that can't stand humans, and yet he's doing fine. He's you know, occasionally he's condescending, but I was expecting him to be something like, you know, out of the second season of Buck Rogers. And no, it's been really cool. I want to like this show, but I don't want to like this show. I feel like liking it would betray Star Trek somehow, and that is so fucking stupid. Oh, this is therapy for me, people.
I know. I feel so bad. I wish I could hug you right now. It's all right. Star Trek's still there.
I know.
And there's more coming. It's coming in a day or two. Mm-hmm. It's not even far away anymore. So
I got my CBS All Access today. I checked the Chromecast to make sure everything's working. 8:30 tomorrow night, I'm turning off everything and just fucking watching the first new episode of Star Trek in 15 goddamn years.
Oh, it's been such a long time.
Yeah.
Such a long time. I've just gone to my Netflix to see if there's anything further on it. I loaded it up on the PS4 the other day, and the first big thing you met with is a big picture of Star. I posted it on Instagram because it was just suddenly, oh, this is real now. This is real. Oh, it has its own section in Netflix already. What happens if I hit that? Right, I will add it to my list and give it a thumbs up. But it's exciting. It really is. It's going to be there. It doesn't say when. Doesn't say when.
I don't have confirmation on this, but I read somewhere, and I honestly don't know where, so I don't know if it's reliable or not, but I read that y'all will get it the day after we do.
Well, yes, but.
Yeah.
Right? It says on Netflix now that it will be on the 25th of September, which is Monday, right?
Which is the day after we get it, yeah.
It is. Absolutely, it's the day after you get it. But you get it at 8:30 on Sunday night, right?
Uh-huh.
What time is that here?
That's after midnight, yeah. That's a lot after midnight.
Yeah. I think we get it at exactly the same time. Or mere hours apart. Minutes apart.
That's true.
Because if they're not going to make it available till 8:30 Monday night, I've had all day to pirate that.
You know?
That's how that goes. So, when, you know, what they've been doing with Game of Thrones is broadcasting it to the minute at the same time. Sky
makes sense.
They have a 2 a.m. showing, and then they have an 8 p.m. showing the next night, so that normal people can watch it. So, yeah.
For people without a DVR.
Yeah, or for people without a DVR. So for you guys, it's a Sunday night show. Here, it's a Monday night show, unless you want to sit and watch it at 2 a.m., which you can, because people do, and that has apparently cut down on piracy tremendously.
As it would.
Yeah. So, you know, you can watch it quicker than you can pirate it. So that's what they need to do with this, if that's what they're trying to do. And I see no reason why not, honestly. And so, yeah, the 25th, although it is technically the next calendar day, I think we'll be getting it at like 2 a.m. I expect to see it before I go to bed on Sunday night / Monday morning. Put it that way.
Let us hope so. Sorry, that was my phone. I had it on so that I would hear when you were done, and I will now make it shut the fuck up.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think it's extremely exciting. So glad Netflix got it here.
I saw a trailer this morning, or it's not so much a trailer. It's one of those character, I don't even know what you'd call it. It's like 3 minutes of a character study. It was about Sarek. And it was showing some shots of the child, Michael Burnham, at a Vulcan school. And it was like the same thing Spock was doing. They're all in a pit with a holographic interface answering questions and shit. And I was like, that's Star Trek. There it is.
It is. It's ever so exciting.
Yeah. So,
but I don't, right. It doesn't strike me as the kind of show that is going to tackle difficult issues in society and all that sort of thing. It didn't hit me as that kind of Star Trek.
Well, you know, when I was talking to John Champion and Ken Ray on the show last week, we talked about that a little bit. And they pointed out that that kind of stuff doesn't make for a good trailer.
Absolutely, it doesn't, does it? You want the explosions and the shouting and the runner will all be killed thing and all that sort of stuff.
Even look at the TNG promotional stuff. How many weeks did they have coming up on Star Trek The Next Generation? Was there ever a briefing room scene?
Oh, never.
Yeah, how many briefing room scenes are there in TNG?
Yes, exactly. So they'll be, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, whatever. I'm going to watch it. It says Star Trek on it. You know, and I think the problem we've made for ourselves as Star Trek fans is we fucking watched Enterprise. So they're now thinking, whatever we do, they watched Enterprise. It said Star Trek on it. And it didn't even say Star Trek on it for two seasons.
Yeah.
So, low pressure stuff, isn't it? They can make garbage. It doesn't matter. We're watching it.
Well, we'll complain.
Oh,
nobody
yeah.
complains better than we do.
Exactly. But as we've proven, make it perfect and we'll complain. We'll just do the same thing. And then Seth MacFarlane will fix all our problems and we'll complain about that too, damn it.
Yeah, fuck you. All right. I am going to try my best to unclench about the Orville. I will watch it, and I will try to watch it with
more
generous eyes.
It's okay if you don't like it. You're allowed to not like it.
But I want to like it. I want to like what is currently the big science fiction show on television.
But it's,
until tomorrow.
Yeah, until tomorrow. And even then, you know, don't watch something just because it's the only sci-fi going. That gives them ratings and stuff.
Well, yeah, but I also feel I have a bit of an obligation as the host of Starbase 66 and co-host of this show to, you know, tell our listeners what I think about it. I just don't want it to be a chore.
I understand. The way I found of dealing with that problem over the years is just to be a miserable curmudgeon about stuff and say, I'm not even watching it. It's that rubbish. I'm not even going to bother. So just go with that route. It's fine. Honestly, it's all right. But it's not because it's bad. It just needs to know what it is.
Yeah.
I think. And you do have a problem with laughing at people. Because they're horrible, which is, again, that probably means that you have a nicer personality than people who do find that funny. You know, that might be a good thing. But I get on with it because I'm British. And as I say, all our comedy is based around laughing at people, not with them. So that's, you know, I'm able to get on with it a lot more. Maybe you'll get there. Maybe you won't, but it doesn't matter. It's just a telly program.
Yeah. Now, I've got to say, I really enjoyed the relationship between Bortus and Clyden in the episode last night.
It was a very well-written thing.
And it was exactly the sort of thing we've been wanting Star Trek to do for decades now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the problem, is they're doing some things better than Star Trek ever did because they don't have... One of the things I've been saying is that if the comedy was riskier, I might be more into it. But the dramatic side of the show, at least last night, was maybe not as risky as it would have been 20 years ago, but they dealt with a same-sex relationship as de facto. They got a whole fucking planet of they're all one gender.
Yeah.
What
annoyed me is that it never occurred to me until they put it on screen. Like, of course they're all, because they're all men. That makes, of course. Yeah. You wouldn't be, being gay wouldn't have the same stigma it perhaps has in some regions of the world if everybody was a man.
Yeah.
Hmm. Gotta hope that never happens, though. But anyway.
Women smell better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's if nothing else, there is that. Absolutely.
Except for my teenage daughter. Anyway. I think we've probably said all we can about this, or all we should, or...
Yeah, given there are only three of them.
Yeah.
It might be interesting to revisit it, see how you get on with it, whatever. But I don't know. I wouldn't worry about abandoning it. No, that's not going to happen. Giving up on it, if I were you, it's it's not the end of the world. And if I only had 2 hours a night to watch TV, I'd be fucking picky.
Yeah.
In fact, an hour of it would be spent picking, which is no good.
Well, usually an hour of it is spent fucking around on Facebook or Netflix or YouTube. So,
yeah, there's so many things to take up your time. That's the problem. So we've got to be pickier. But yeah, I'm very unpicky at the moment. That's my problem, ultimately. plus, I'm playing too much 3DS to really care what's on television. That's the other problem. So
how can folks find stuff if they want to listen to what we've had to say?
Everything we make, everybody, is at simplysyndicated.com, be it movie news or the seventh Chevron about Stargate or Simply Syndicated's Discovery After Show, episode one now available, or just there's so much stuff, really. I've been on a podcast every day this week.
I had one night off this week, and I used that one editing.
Gosh, we're busy.
Yeah.
So there's just loads of stuff. We've got a new Do Ask, Do Tell out. We've not had a new one of those out for ages. And it was actually...
I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
It was actually reasonably intelligent discussion, which blows my mind.
Do you want a real trans person to talk to? Because I know one who will talk your ears off.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do.
We'll talk.
Because that was part of it. We were talking about trans people, and then it's... You can only go so far before you realize, but there isn't a trans person here, and maybe they should be.
Oh, I know someone who's probably itching to podcast by now.
Oh, yes, I remember now. So, yeah, we are definitely looking for a trans person to come on the show and talk to us about it.
Okay. I will hook you guys up.
I might be starting my politics show again. I'm kind of building up to that, but I don't know. You see... I feel in some way, do I have a sense of this is as if this is the end of a show, but I'm going to ask this question of the world. if I have the ability to influence the world in which I live, do I have a duty to use that influence?
Yes.
Bollocks. Because I don't want to do it because it's so upsetting and distressing.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I sort of feel like, but I have this voice, whatever it is, and if I don't, I have to use it, otherwise I'm using it irresponsibly. So, shit. Yeah, so the politics show's coming back, and I'll talk about Theresa May and Donald Trump and all those lovely people that I just like so much.
All the people we want to throw into a blender.
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Slowly.
Yeah. So there's lots of stuff, everybody, for you to hear on Simply Syndicated.
I've got a new show.
Oh, yeah.
That will get its own feed soon, called Thank the Makers, where I am interviewing people who make content, either podcasters or writers or artistic directors or stuff like that, whoever I can get to talk to me about stuff that I think you people out there will like to hear about and need to know about.
That's because brilliant.
The thing is, everybody wants to talk to the actors. And every time I talk to an actor or I hear an interview with an actor, Susie Plaxen, you know I love her. She's a friend of mine. I adore her. But every time we try to say thank you for Kalar, she's like, not me. They wrote it. I just read the words on the page. So I want to talk to the writers. I want to talk to the people that designed the ship that we love so much. I want to talk to the people making stuff. And that's what the name of the show is. Thank the Makers. Granted, it's a riff on C-3PO's line, but,
which is good. Cause I hear the rest of the line every time I read it or whatever. This oil bath is going to feel so good.
So that's why, the first show, I talked to John Champion and Ken Ray of the Mission Log podcast. They were handpicked by Rod Roddenberry to do the show by show analysis of every Star Trek ever made. And if you haven't listened to the show, it's wonderful. I love it. And they're just awesome guys. The interview was, I just kind of said, go, and they did. And like 45 minutes later, I went, thank you.
I can't think why you wouldn't want me, Mike and Will to do that.
Who says I don't?
I mean Rod Roddenberry looking for
well,
they probably do it seriously, don't they?
Not really
Oh well, but that sounds good. Hey, I have a new show as well,
Yeah,
I do. It's called it's called Random Access Memories, and I've been talking to people about the computer games they used to play when they were kids and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
And I've now got episode 2 out. I think by the time people hear this, episode 3 will be out, which is, it's Scott, who was on this show.
Scott Madison?
Scott Madison, yes.
Wow.
We talked for like an hour and a half about video games. It's great.
Wow, getting him on a podcast is kind of difficult these days.
I know, but he just texts him like, I'm free right now. What are you doing? Like, nothing, let's do it. It just was awesome. One of those things.
Fucking diva.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
I love
3.
You, Scott, you know.
Absolutely. And Nick did one, Boz has done one, I got another one recorded the other night, so it's great. It's great fun.
If you ever want to talk about Pong, I'm your man.
That's it. Do you know what, the person I spoke to the other night, he was 22 years old, and I found that quite upsetting. Because he talked about the first computer games he played, and it was on the PlayStation, and I was doing my GCSEs at that time, not discovering computer games. So yeah, I didn't like that, but it's a good show. It's a good show.
So the very first video game I ever played was literally TV Tennis, which later became, which was a ripoff of Pong.
There were many of those. So, well, everybody, I think that we'll call time on that, because I think we just added another 15 minutes to the show by bringing it to an end. Thank you for listening, everybody. I was going to do a wrap up. We've done it. This is the end of the wrap up. Thank you for listening, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye bye.